welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to my podcast. My podcast has been running since June 2020, and I have been blessed and privileged to bring in some amazing guests around the globe. And you can find my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa, on Spotify, iTunes, and other major platforms where you can download and listen to my podcast, where you can hear people share their journeys, share their heart-centered conversation with me, and a lot more. So dive in and listen some amazing things from my guests. Today, I have another exceptional guest who actually I known her for a while in the personal development industry. And her name is Azreena Jeeva. She is a Londoner based in UK. She has her own journey moving or migrating from Africa, which she would be able to share with us her journey as well. And what has she been doing for the last 15 years is something amazing. She's also an author. She's an international speaker. Her book called Freedom to Be Me, that is available on Amazon, where she has shared some amazing insight in her book. And she runs some great workshop about five keys to freedom. And she has been on several other radio shows and other places where you can find her on. If you just search Azreena Jeeva, you will be able to find her there. So, Azreena, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you and connect again after such a long time.
Yes. The pleasure is a pleasure. So Azreena, tell my audience who Azreena Jeeva is and what's her purpose?
Okay, well, from what I remember from my childhood, I was an extremely shy child. I would not speak up as a teenager. My mom actually had to force me to go to parties because I was somebody who wouldn't go. And I was like this, you know, looking down all the time. And I have some classmates here in England now who see me and they say, oh my God, we don't recognize you anymore. So that shy teenager at the age of 17 came to UK to study. And I studied, it used to be called chiropodist in those days, mm-hmm. Which was a three-year training, and of course now it's podiatry.
Yeah.
So I trained as that and enjoyed my job. And then, still, I guess what was happening in those days now on hindsight and looking back, having a profession, I was kind of confident that I am somebody. But what I realize now and later in life, and that's why my journey, what I call my journey of self-discovery and to freedom, was that I actually didn't have high self-esteem. And I recall many events where I would hide behind my husband or behind my profession. So there were many, many times when I didn't have that inner self-confidence, the inner self-esteem. But I appeared confident because I felt I had a profession. And so I think I carried on. And again, looking back, it was more like existing rather than living life. Mm-hmm. And then the menopause hit me about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's really when I started. I went so down that crisis helped me to really start living again. And I learned many, many tools, which then I felt like I've got to share these tools because I felt so good learning and using those tools that then started my journey towards what I do now.
Wow, what a journey. I think there are a lot of, not only women, there are a lot of men that also go through with the same sort of undecisiveness in their life because they were not given that opportunity. Because I think the cultural, whether you look at it as how we culture being built or how we are being created in our childhood, that we have seen that our parents always work for somebody else. We did not see them running a business. we always see then this is the nitty-gritty that I have to work for somebody for the rest of my life as well, which is not bad actually, which is good. But again, sometimes we have to work where we work is going to be a very happy place to work. When you go to work, you need to be in a happy place, not in a very deprived place, whether I have to be forced to go to work. You wake up in the morning and you use the statements like another day, the same sort of poo or something like that. Yeah. And that's where people started to have this mental breakdowns that they're not enjoying, they're not happy. And you work there for 30 odd years. And today I had another podcast when I recording, and she said they are the corporate refugees, we call them. Because they worked there for 30 years. They thought that is going to be our rest of our life. We're going to be working for those companies. But it's not the same thing right now, correct?
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I think you're very right about the childhood bringing. Although my parents were both self-employed, my mom had a school, she was a Montessori school, but she was the type of a person who was a people pleaser. You know, always wanting to please other people, fearful of judgment. And I think that's who I also became as I was. And that's what led me not to have my inner confidence, but it was always somebody else. If I please them, then they'll be happy, then I'll be happy.
Yes. So
that was kind of my journey. And also talking about, life purpose. Yeah, there is this thinking that work is on this side, but what I enjoy is on this side. But really, it should be, I enjoy this and that should be my work, right? And that's what so many people don't realize.
No, I think we forget that we have to marry together, and we are actually keeping those two people separate, and they are trying to come together, and we're trying to bring them, they're creating a repulsion. And that's where we live our entire life, creating a repulsion. Between work and other enjoyment life, and we don't want to mix them together. And because we have so much fear, much fear of failure, judgment by others, we do not feel like it. That it is me. We look at what others are going to think. Yeah. What not realizing that the other people are not actually paying you the salary. They are not actually putting any grocery in your house. Is you who are doing it. Is you and your husband and your children who are going to be the part of that journey. And that's why we always have this back of our mind. Oh, no. I'd rather keep this separate. I'd rather keep it separate. And they have to be a different entity.
Yeah.
And as you said, when we reached to that age and we started thinking, oh, my God, really?
Yeah. This is, and fear has been a huge part of my life. You know, I was living with so much fear of rejection, fear of what others will say, as you said. And I give you, one example is when I used to go and pick my children up from school, I would sit in the car and I'd watch all those parents, you know, they group up waiting for the children. And I would really want to go and join, but I wouldn't, because my thoughts were, who am I? What am I going to speak? Are they going to laugh at me? And so I would sit there and then pick up the children. But then what happens is that we kind of push that feeling down and get on with life, what I call treadmill of life.
Yes.
You come home, the kids, or feed them, you know, and then go to sleep, and then you go to work. And so it was all there. And I used to think, I'm kind of letting it go. I'm not thinking about it anymore. But it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still inside. And I think that's what brought the down feeling during my menopause, because I hadn't really taken care of me, always worried about what other people will say. So fear was a huge part. And learning about fear through my journey and going to workshops and reading so much is really what released that for me. And I love talking about that, you know, I love talking about, because I was a trainer with Dr. Susan Jeffers' book.
Yeah.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's exactly what we have to do.
I think is acknowledging it most of the time.
Yes.
Acknowledging it. Fear is nothing. You know, people says for perfection. I said perfection is just an illusion.
Yeah.
It's an illusion. Just shatter it, you will see. It's just an illusion. A That's where we have been built upon those. We are looking at other people, what other people are doing. And you have this because a lot of things were shackled because you have picked up from your mother being pleaser to others. What mm-hmm. have you picked up from your parents? You just become the same replica of them. You know, my mom and dad has been very successful in their journey. That must be the right thing to do. Yeah. I do the same thing, not realizing that you are actually creating more problems for yourself.
Yeah.
We learn from our own journey. Yeah, and right now you have learned so much that you are teaching other people that you have, you are not supposed to be feeling that way. You have to start changing your story. Change your story to a happy story and forget about the old story. That's what I learned from another speaker today, yesterday. He said, I talk to my client and tell them, listen, what you have said to me is gone now. Let's create a new story for you. Create your new story. Mm-hmm. Learn from what you are achieving right now. Because if you're repeating the same story, you are attracting the same people. Yeah?
Exactly.
They will be selling the same thing and you will be attracting and you will be having the same fight again and you're going through the same journey again and you realize, why am I attracting the same people? Because you are selling the same story and the person who is listening to the same story, he's going through the same story. And you are both in the same area.
That's so true.
To shift that, one has to understand that we have to take a leap of faith to believe we have all the goodness in ourselves. And coaches like you, me, and other people who can actually give them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
We also go through our own journey as well. I've gone through my own journey of going through a divorce after 17 years of our marriage and gone through with other hardship and everything. And a lot of things happened with my mother and my father and a lot of people has happened. But what I've learned from that is to be mindful as we are all here to learn and to be better version of ourselves.
Yeah.
So people can look at us and say, okay, if Sam and Asmina can do it, I can do it as well.
That's so true. Yeah. I think it's great to relate our own stories because, like you said, everyone has their own journey. And we compare ourselves and we think, oh, that person is doing so well. But we don't realize that they have had more failures than successes, but they look successful because that's what we're seeing. And there was a very nice description. When I first started my journey, I went on a course called Zest for Life, which Dawn Breslin was running.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained it very nicely. She said, this is the CD from your grandparents. And then they pass the CD on to your parents. And now you've got it. Now, do you want to run the same CD, which isn't serving you, or do you want to change it? And like you said, change is possible. We have, you know, there are tools and we have to believe, but not only believe, but also there is a lot of scientific evidence in all these things too. You know, when you look at fear, we were talking about fear. So it's an illusion, exactly, like you said. And it's, and we all know, or you know, we read this and we know that fears are false, expectations are being real. So in our mind, we are thinking something, the story, and that story is running, but how do we check if this story is actually true? You know, I'll tell you a funny story.
Go for it.
In fact, I was in Birmingham going to run a workshop and I stayed one night in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a weekend, so I just taken limited kind of clothing and whatever. Anyway, I was there in the evening and I thought, you know what, I'd love to do a little workout. And it was a small gym there. I go in the gym and I see this guy working out. Now, I didn't have my workout clothes. And I stood there and I walked out. And as I went in the lift, I'm saying to myself, I've come here to teach people about feel the fear and do it anyway. And I've just took myself out of that place because I was afraid of his judgment about me not being in my right clothes. Can you just imagine that? That's so, now looking back, is so silly and funny. And so then I actually went back in and within 5 minutes he had left. I had the place to myself. So I just had that false expectation that he's going to laugh at me and he's going to judge me. And who is he after all in my life? You know? So this is what we do sometimes to ourselves. We sabotage.
Absolutely sabotaging, because I think because of the way we have been, upbringing is correct.
Yeah.
I come from Pakistan. You came from Tanzania, Uganda. So your upbringing was completely different. My upbringing was completely different. Yeah. The way we have been cultured, the way we speak to other people, the way we talk to people, and that affects you when you all get older. That affects you. Yeah. And
that's right.
And that will take hold, as you said earlier, whether your grandfather passed the CD to your mother and father, and their mother and father passed the CD to you. Is it the same story you're going to be running, or you're going to change the story?
Yeah.
It's entirely your choice. Choice is being given to you. You have been given the choice to make the decision on yourself. But unfortunately, because of those shackles we have, we don't want to cut them.
Yeah.
We have so much here.
Exactly. And you see, the other issue is that we're not taught these things, right? This is why I was so passionate, because I just thought, why are we not teaching these lessons to young children? Because if they knew these lessons, there would be amazing people right now, right? I mean, the mental health problem right now with youth is so high. And it's because they're in social media, obviously. So they constantly compare themselves to others. And I tell you what, how I like to look at each one of us, and I wish that we could teach this to children, is how unique and special each one of us is. Are we ever told that as children? That you're special? We are not, right? And just look at our fingerprint. One little fingerprint. Nobody in this world has that. Nobody has our features. Although I read somewhere that maybe there are about 6 lookalikes that we have in the world. And I'm often, you know, when I'm out somewhere, oh, you look like my mother, or you look like my aunt, or whatever. But really, we are so unique and special. And not just features, not just our fingerprints, but everything about us. And we don't appreciate that. We, each one of us has a gift. And I feel that's the reason we are born, is to express that individual gift here. Otherwise, what's the point, right?
Absolutely.
And so we have to stop this comparison with other people and be us.
Well, that's one thing we are looking at. I think that the area which you touched over here about the youth, I think we have to start we have to ignite something. There are a lot of things that we as professionals should do for our children, our youth. And as I said, with COVID has affected so many people. Youth affected the people who have lost their jobs, people who are old at home, being alone. Even there are a lot of services being offered within the council, within the society, within the faith groups, and all sorts of things are happening. But still there is a lot of things can be done, you know. And we as you know, joint forces can be able to do a lot of things for a lot of people. But in your journey as you are a author, can you talk about your book, please?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll just show the book for the audience. So that's the book called Freedom to Be Me. So as I said earlier, I hit, you know, that age when my hormones were not quite right. And I was very, very down, so down. I was tearful, felt worthless in spite of having done lots of things in my life, but I still felt worthless. I thought I was no good. I had palpitations. I wasn't feeling happy. And one day I actually literally was on my knees praying and just thinking life isn't worth it, because I was feeling this so, so down and so worthless. But then, you know, there was a little ray of hope, because I'd actually read something in the past about menopause for women especially. And I'm sure men go through some crisis too at around that age. But I was reading about women, and Dr. Kristin Northup writes about it. That really, that's if you haven't taken care of yourself, if you haven't put yourself first in life, which we think is the wrong thing, but actually it gives us more energy to serve. So I had that little, little thing that came up and said, you know what, maybe it is my time to look after myself now. And then I'd read another couple of books. And that really helped me not to go on medication and to then start what I call my journey of self-discovery and my journey to freedom to be me. So I went to a workshop, as I said, to Don Breslin's workshop, my first workshop, and it was called Zest for Life, which was like, yeah, that's what I need. I need that zest for life. And the tools I learned just blew me away. And I was looking at Don speaking, and I was, by the end of the day, I was thinking, that's what I want to do. And our workshop was so powerful. You had to actually look at your inner child. You had to take a picture of yourself as a child. And I felt, I was tearful for the half of the day because I had lost connection with who I was. Because I was this people pleaser, you know, doing everything for other people, but not myself. And that connection really, really brought a lot of tears to me. But it was grand, it was great. And then as I started using these tools, so I'll tell you, the kind of tools were how to think differently, tell a different story, that it's my responsibility if I want to be happy, not to expect other people to make me happy. Fears, what is fear? And everybody feels fear. And when I learned those little things and started practicing them, my life started changing. I felt more vibrant, more vital, you know, more at peace. And then I was just so passionate about this thing. And I kept reading. I was just immersed into books and more workshops, and then became a trainer because I just felt I have to share these things with other people. If I'm feeling so good and I've used them, it worked with me, it can work with, you know, I can help other people. And that's what led me to become a trainer and speaker and doing, like, you know, all of us do, different courses to lead us to whatever path we are taking. So then I was a trainer for the Zest for Life workshops, trainer for Dr. Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And then I started my own little workshops called Self-Love. And finally, I thought, okay, I've got to share this with more people. And then spend time writing the book. I had a mentor who helped me. Because otherwise I might have not ended up, I was writing, but I didn't know the full process. So having a mentor really helped me. And so, yeah, so as I was thinking, okay, what's been my journey? Before, first I thought, okay, it was from fear to happiness. But then as I was writing more, I thought, no, it's actually about freedom. Freedom to allow myself to be me, be comfortable in my own skin, stop worrying about other people. You know, take care of myself, and that gave me so much energy to actually serve other people. So we have this myth that it's selfish to take care of ourselves, but I think it's so important. And so, yeah, so really that's been my journey towards writing my book, which has been now 2 years. And now that's my message. My message now is have the freedom to be you. And those are now my workshops. Yeah. The sound has gone from you, Sam.
Yeah, I muted it because my dog was barking. So I thought better I muted. Otherwise, it's going to be more barking session than
normal. They're not stopping.
So as you shared a lot of things in your, you're going to be sharing a lot of information in your book, which you already been available on Amazon, which is, taking self-care has come to me as well when I was blessed with twins. And when you are the father, when you started to look at how everything is going to relate for you, is something completely different for everybody else. Even I had an older daughter and then set of twins. It was like, oh my God, I have so many things to manage. And then one day, as you said, you know, we all realize that what is more important is you. And I had this came to me and said, Sam, look after yourself, because if you're going to look after yourself, then you will be able to look after others. If you're not eating right, if you're not sleeping right, if you're not going for your own self, how are you going to do that? So I take that the moment and I tell a lot of people, you are number one. if number one is not happy and content and not satisfied, how number two, three, and four, and five will be satisfied?
Exactly. So
let's say, for example, you as a mother, if mother is going through with the imbalance with the hormones and everything, and if you are not looked after by your husband and not you look after yourself, what's going to happen is going to create a problem, correct? With men, we have imbalance of a lot of chemicals in our body, but not that much which woman goes through. But we have our own set of other unsettledness in our life as well. But again, realizing that you are number one, realizing that you have to look after yourself. Nobody else is going to, even though your husband or wife is not going to look after you, you have to look after yourself, making sure that you go to sleep on time, you make sure that you drink enough water, you have your walking and all of the things. Yes, you are lucky to have a partner who look after you and tell you, oh, did you eat your medicine? Did you look after yourself? Did you eat enough water? Did you have your breakfast? You are blessed. But not everybody is, because we two people are firefighting with a lot of things going on. And it says, I haven't got enough time to go to the loo. And you're asking me how I'm feeling. I'm not feeling well. Don't talk to me. So it's the journey together and go through with you. So how people can connect with you, Azmi?
Yeah, so I have my website, mm-hmm. which is www.azminajiwa.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so just contact me through there would be probably the best thing, I would say. And as you said, my book is available on Amazon, also from me if anybody wants to. And also, because people sometimes don't know, they're not sure, there's 3 chapters of my book which can be downloaded straight from my website.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's
so people beautiful. Can at least get into it and see, yes, this resonates with me.
It's like a tester, huh? It's like a tester.
Exactly.
For them. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Does it available on Kindle as well, or is only available?
Yeah, it's a Kindle version as well.
Kindle version.
And hopefully, I would like to do it an audio as well. So
amazing.
That'd be great. Yes, and. So I would be very happy to be of service. What I've been wanting to do, I used to obviously run a lot of workshops for individuals, but what I used to have people in my workshops who used to be employees, and I found that they were not being themselves. You know, the stories they were sharing, they were not being themselves, and by not being themselves, they were not contributing fully to the company they were working for. Because really they couldn't voice their opinion because of a fear of judgment. They wouldn't experiment with anything because of fear of failure. And so I feel now what I'm doing a bit and what I would love to do more of is to actually work with companies who have this ethos of their employees' well-being. And I would like to help them so that their productivity would go up. Because if their employees are fully engaged, then it's a win-win situation. Okay. So really, that's becoming kind of more of my passion now.
Amazing. Yeah. I think companies have to start building their employees as ambassadors instead of as an entity or as a number. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people just is a number. Because you say, oh, well, nobody cares about me. Why should I bother about the company? Correct. I just get a salary coming in and that's enough for me. I do my job and that's it. I'm not interested in making any friends over there. Our company is not doing enough for me. But again, there is a two-way process.
That's right. You can't
blame the company. You have to take the responsibility to be part of that company ethos and play part of the value system. If your values are not resonating with that company, then you're not going to be, you just went there just for a high salary. Because you said the salary is very good, I will work for that company, but you are not actually happy because your values are not matching.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about earlier, about purpose and enjoying your life and doing what you enjoy is your work.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That's amazing what you are building upon and working towards going into the corporate or working with a lot of people, helping them to understand that life is full of adventures. Instead of challenges, we all come through with a lot of great story we hear, and we dwell upon those stories, or sometimes we hear the same story again and again. And one thing which Jim Rohn has said is that whose plan are you following? Is it your plan? Is somebody else's plan? So mm-hmm. start building your own plan and start mm-hmm. taking first steps, small steps to achieving that plan in your life. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Azmina, for being my guest on Chai with Sam Dosa today.
Pleasure. Thank you for asking me to join.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you very much. And have a fantastic rest of the day. Bye for now.
You too.